Well, it's the hour of truth. I'm Paul Muller. Got Phil Walthall here. Got Gail Stevens on Skype and James Utzler on Skype.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, John Boy. So, what do we have on our minds?
I can't believe you said that.
Somebody have a mind?
Well, we have a Bible study on Friday nights, and a gentleman in it, Carter, had brought up speaking with his mother about the joy of the Lord and why she doesn't have the joy of the Lord. Might be an interesting topic to get on.
We'll start talking.
What did you learn?
Well, I think, you know, Paul, you really said it when, you know, the truth testifies against us. And if we're not willing to accept that we have nothing to offer and that it's all by Jesus, we can't have that joy of the Lord because we're serving ourselves, our carnal flesh, not the Lord. It's when we lay these things down and, you know, lose our life for his sake that we can enter in and partake in that joy of the Lord.
You know, it all works together. It's about us changing our minds and our perspective. Whether it's, you know, Steve talking about fret not because of evildoers. That's the Psalm 37, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
When it comes to us choosing just not to receive the programming of our parents, whether it was intentional or not, that, you know, God is mean and hateful and is just seeking a way to destroy you, when actually the enemy is doing that. And, you know, it's also up to you whether or not you partake of the joy of the Lord, the joy of his salvation.
And, you know, one thing that you said that's highlighted me, James, was that you said that we have nothing to offer. And, you know, I just kind of remember this morning, you know, Lord, I have nothing to offer. That's a freeing thing. I don't have anything to offer except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I remember there was a Bible study. What was it? I kind of mentioned this Thursday night. I remember the Bible study a while ago, and it was a Tuesday night's Bible study where Steve says, you know, I'm not accepted by anything I've done, and, you know, or any of these things, and we're not. Davey's not accepted. None of the things. We're only accepted by the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
And when you can just humble yourself to just receive that, if you can just humble yourself to receive that, then you can have joy of the Lord.
Well, it's a humiliating, you know, experience to realize that there's nothing you can do, that you bring nothing. There's nothing you can do to make yourself more acceptable. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's an offense to people. And the only way you can get around that offense is choose not to be offended.
Oh, amen. Amen. But at the same time, it's a beautiful thing, because, and it's a freeing thing, because it's one of, it's one of where the Lord does the work there. The Lord does the work in the sense of, man, it's not you doing it. Looking at the testimonies of our past, of our lives, and where the Lord has operated and had turned things that were messed up and flipped them on its head, and took in our mistakes and redeemed those the time. And it's a freeing thing. It's us choosing to receive it and believe it.
You've got to receive the attitude adjustment that the Lord offers, whether it's in His Word or from correction from those over you, or it's just it's a humbling experience to be able to agree that that's a good thing, and it sometimes I'm just not the sharpest tool in the shed. Sometimes I get things wrong, but that's not my destruction.
As do I.
That's not to my destruction. That's to my benefit. You have the opportunity not to do the same thing wrong the next time.
You learn from it.
Yeah.
Be free from it.
Well,
and when you can agree with that, Paul, that's when you can agree with the Lord and that you're accepted only by the blood of the Lamb.
It's freeing.
It's freeing and it's joyful. It's joyful.
Cuts the bonds that had you all bound up.
Amen. This morning when I was playing the praise and worship songs, it was on the stereo and a lot awesome surround sound. It was a humbling and a freeing thing. Let me tell you, it was great. What I needed.
Amen. So much of the warfare that I've been having to deal with, entering the fight. So much of the fight is truly be thankful and praise the Lord, just praise Him because He alone is worthy.
Amen.
And honor.
Amen.
And, you enter in that way, and He can sustain you.
Amen.
At least that's been my experience.
Amen.
Amen.
And, it's not that we don't. And the thing is, we have, and that was one of the things, listening to praise and worship. Because we have, looking back at the testimonies, we have the testimonies of the Lord moving in our lives. And it's something where we get, it's something that we can be grateful and thankful for. I think it was Sue was mentioning one time, I might screw this up again, but mentioning one time of the putting things in a jar of the testimonies of the Lord and how the Lord has brought you through those things. And just the things that you're grateful of.
It was an answered prayer request jar, wasn't it?
But yeah, answered prayer request jar that it come about. And you can just look and time and time and time again in our life where the Lord has answered our prayer and has been our provision. And we have a testimony of even the redemption of our mistakes and the turning around of things that were not so good. And we just have testimony.
Stuff that just looks for all the world like it could never work out.
Exactly. And we have testimony upon testimony upon testimony of that. And man, when you can take an honest look at that, man, it just, what fills your heart is gratefulness and encouragement of what the Lord is able yet to do. What He has done for us and what He's able to do. And that's where our confidence lies. That's where we put our confidence in.
Amen. And if we truly have confidence in Him, then the things that we're praying for, that sometimes the answer is no, is not. It's not going to be such a sting and such a slap when the answer is no. I remember I used to pray to the Lord and think that I'd have to get it all together and know exactly what to pray for precisely, you know, and then I felt like I wasn't being heard if the answer was no. But thank God sometimes the answer was no, because I'd have made a mess of things.
Oh, hey, amen, Gail. Amen, Gail. You know, one of the scriptures I didn't get to that came to my mind this morning was, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Right.
And, you know, one of...
I was going to go there.
And one of the things...
It didn't make the cut for some reason.
Oh, that was going through your mind this morning as well? Yeah, I didn't go there either. But one of the things is I'm looking at, you know, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's another scripture that I look at is that, you know, his plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. And if, you know, if we're just willing to put our eyes and look upon Jesus and put our eyes in what he is able to accomplish, how about that going about being accomplished won't matter because you know it's for the good. You know it's for the better. And
again, that's about surrendering your own will. And that's a place of humility. And it's better to choose it than to get humiliated. Because sometimes the humiliation is really ugly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
But what we, I mean, so even in that, when we ask for this, when we ask for this, the things that, hey, we might think we need, but the Lord's going, you really don't need that. Watch what I'm about to do. Watch what I'm about to do, and it always ends up, I'm glad he didn't give me that helicopter. I would have flown it in the ditch and died, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I use that as kind of a...
I think that would have been the best possible outcome. Okay. I can think of much worse scenarios. That might be the least damaging outcome.
The least damaging outcome, exactly. So, I mean, what you got is, I mean, to the point of the answer might be no, but trust that that is good for you. I mean, you know, one of the things that Charlie talked about was a beautiful thing, and if we being evil, and the Lord, if we ask, if they ask for bread, will we give them a stone? You know, no. Sometimes, you know, as children... We might think we need something or we want something that will be good or beneficial to us, but sometimes the answer is no because it's going to be detrimental for us. And he loves us enough to not give it to us because it would be no good for us. It would be a stumbling block for us. Look, let me tell you, if I ask the Lord, look, you know, Lord, if I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, man, imagine what I would be able to do. No. I'd end up dead in a ditch somewhere. One, and then my faith wouldn't be in him. My faith would be in $1 million.
Well, we'd be filled with pride. We'd because all these things we're doing now for the Lord, it would go to almost a works righteousness thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you bet.
You bet. And so... You know, sometimes the answer is no, and we can rejoice in the answer being no because he knows better than I do. And we
can
trust
grace and mercy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And besides, you know, no one else is going to say it, but I will. There are times, you know, when in the beginning when I was going into a woman's jail in New Hampshire, and I think it was almost going to the point of, look at all the souls I'm bringing to you, Lord. You know, these were all feathers in my cap. Until it seemed like one day a curtain opened up before my eyes and, oh my God, I was standing in total pride in it. And the smartest thing I did was go running to the elders and go, oh my God, I think I'm getting taken over by pride here. Help. And I was taken out so quick you wouldn't even believe it. Just like that, that was over. And praise God, what seemed like what seemed like a punishment at the time was actually to my salvation, because I needed to get out of that. I wasn't standing rightly, and it made place for someone else to go and grow in the Lord while I took a step back and also had some growing in the Lord to do, only not in that arena.
Amen. And, you know, it's kind of like your kid going and saying, hey, Dad, you know, Bradley comes to me, hey, Dad, can I drive the car? Well, no. If I know what's best for her, I'm going to tell her no. Now, maybe you can sit on my lap and we can, you know, we can go around the property around a couple times, but you going out and driving the car down the street, that's good. It'll kill you. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I don't know. That's not too far. I was driving at 11. It was kind of fun, but it wasn't down the street.
That does explain a lot.
Well, maybe that was a bad example, Gail. I don't know. But, I mean, I hope you get the crux of the point, I hope.
Yeah. I get you. I'm just picking.
Oh, me. It is it's funny how we get these fanciful thoughts about that. Well, what we could do if we just had some money. Lord, if you would just give me that lottery number, I could.
What, Lord, if I could just get a job with less hours. Nope, you're right where you need to be. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times we don't see what a blessing the Lord has performed for us until much later. And it's still, nonetheless, a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
But the absolute vanity we're able to entertain, give too much place to the enemy to just... It was like Peter got sifted like wheat. He desired to sift Peter like wheat. Yeah. But I've interceded for you.
Yeah.
And not going to happen.
And, you know, and out of Peter, I mean, what you get in the epistle, I mean, we give way too much place for the enemy, which brought up, again, one of the things I was talking about in Peter, where it says, as your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seek to whom he may destroy. I might be messing that up, so forgive me. But the point is, I mean, with a lion, that we give way too much place to be separated off from the truth. We give way too much place to be separated off of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We give way too much place to the unbelief in his word, where we give way too much place to the enemy in these things to work against us and to get us off track of what the Lord has for us and for others.
Amen. You know,
he said. And we easily get beset in those things. Go ahead, Gail, I apologize. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I didn't know that you weren't done. Back to the joy of the Lord. That's still mulling around in my head anyways. In that, when our eyes are down here on this world and on ourselves, which is of this world, you know, that is a place where the enemy, which does come to kill and steal and destroy, takes our joy. I find that one of the things that is simple but true is that if my eyes are lifted up to the Lord, then I have joy on those days. But the days when, you know, my head is down, you know, that is the days where there's just no joy. And that's because when I do that, the enemy has place. You know, when I'm not counting my blessings, when I'm not actually thanking God, that gives place to the enemy to come in and just make a ruin of my day.
Amen. And you know what really that is? And it's the sin that so easily besets us, because what it is what's sin? It's unbelief. So when our eyes are down on the ground and not on the Lord and down on and looking at this world, our eyes are not, we are in unbelief in His Word and what His Word says.
Amen. And you start counting everything that's wrong. And do you know how long you can spend on that? Counting what is wrong in this world? What is wrong with what you don't have that you think you ought to have? For instance, I'll just give you a for instance. We were making a joke earlier about living in a box in a field because we live in a fifth wheel. And, you know, quite literally, it is a box in a field. But you know what? I have heat when it's cold. I have water. I have more than enough food, as my pant size speaks. I have everything. I don't even want to go to the we. I know for me, I have every single thing that I need and most things that I want that are good. So I have absolutely nothing to complain about. And when my head is there, and I'm grateful to the Lord for that, there is joy. There is it's like an orchestra sound inside. You know, it is just plain joy. It's not a lot of hopping around and jumping up and down and feeling happy, happy, happy. It's, joy is a different thing. It's kind of a big, all-encompassing sound. And I don't even know why some days I wake up and I'm just looking at the world. And that is one miserable place to be looking.
You're describing the joy. It's not a feeling thing. And, you know, I mean, you know, I look at joy as kind of like of a knowing. You know, like of a knowing thing. You just know that he's there. That he's able. That he's... I mean, that's how I kind of, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm messing up describing the joy of the Lord. But it's a
great... I think it's you're right. Joy. It can be described in many ways, you know, with all of our senses, I think.
Can
be a sound. It can be... It's actually, I think, being right-sized in your place in God's kingdom. I think that's that kind of puts it in a nutshell.
There's a joy in... Or go ahead, Paul.
Everybody spends all this time trying to engineer peace and thinking that that's just rest. The peace, the Lord's peace, is like the Lord's joy. You got to know what the joy is before you know whether you got it or not. Peace is, what is it? Unconditional surrender. And most people just don't start off with that perspective. But that's what he's talking about when he talks about, prefer not your father, mother, sister, brother, yea, in your own life, but you pick up your cross daily and follow after me. That's peace.
Amen. And that's peace. Amen. With him.
Right.
And that's the other thing. I mean, if you're at peace with him, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be, it, you know, a lot of people are looking at the blessed be the peacemakers. Well, the peacemakers aren't the ones that's making peace with you and everybody else. No, it's peace with you and the Lord.
Right.
Not peace with you and the world. Not peace with you.
Amen.
And others, not peace, but peace with you and the Lord.
That means whoever's sowing the seed, spreading the gospel, who's speaking the truth,
Amen.
God's word.
And that's making peace with that person, reconciling them back with the Lord. And that's the peacemakers that he's talking about. You can have peace with the Lord, but if you are His, let me tell you, there's a war. There's a spiritual war actually going on, because the world's not the Lord's. That's the enemy's.
And it might sound ugly about the terms of surrender. Is giving up, everything, unconditional surrender. But the truth of the matter is, even if you're seeking peace with people in the world, you usually have to give up something.
Well, there's a scripture for that. He that is friends of the world is that enemy, is enemy with God.
Right.
Amen.
They're preferring their own life at that point.
Yeah. So that's contrary. And let me tell you, the peacemakers here, sometimes the peacemakers might not look very,
very peaceful
when you are reconciling somebody with the Lord. It might be you standing there and saying, this is how it is. This is the situation. This is what you're in error of. This is what's keeping you from going to the Lord. And they might be going, turning their head around circles going, screaming at you. Mad at you, ready to kill your butt. Didn't that what happened with Stephen? They told him the truth that they can be reconciled back with their Maker, the one that chose them. But they took up stones to kill him. He was simply being a peacemaker for their sake, and at the end still made intercession for them as they were casting stones at him. So the peacemaking there might not look very peaceful there with the world and the things of the world. But it's still necessary and needful. Paul was a fruit of that.
Yeah, the testimony of the Lord's goodness and the value of the peace treaty with Him ended up being grace and mercy extended to everybody else that Paul ministered to. And so it had repercussions that, were still going on. Just the one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that we make introduction to the Lord is what we do. It's not like I've ever laid peace between someone else and God, because, of course, it's their choice. They have to do that.
The reception of the word, whether they receive it or not, is whether or
Amen.
Not they get the reconciliation, they get the peace.
Jesus is the peace. The peace comes through Jesus.
Amen.
We can
Absolutely.
Go out and spread the word where people will know how to receive it.
Go ahead.
Like a good ambassador, we are trying to make His introduction to them all the time, and tell them all about Him. But people do have to take that step. We can't do it for them. We absolutely can't. If we could, well, my gosh, we'd just be busy doing that all the time, but we can't. No one made the choice for me. I had to choose myself.
Amen. And that's where even blessed be the peacemakers. I mean, even Noah was a peacemaker, and he was the only one that believed and received of what was going to come. But he was still partaking in the peacemaker because he was telling them the truth. But it was up to them to get on the boat or not.
Amen. We all have that choice to make.
Sitting here looking at, there were so many more things that I could have cited out of John when I was, talking about it during the service. John 14:16, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another Comforter, that you may abide, that He may abide with you forever. Why does He call it a Comforter? He's
because he cares for you. He knows you're going to need comforting and consolation, and because sometimes some of the lessons you learn, like we were talking about earlier, they're ugly. It doesn't look like it's all that peaceful.
Amen. Amen. I mean, good God, think of it. Gail meet Gail. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, you met me?
You know, and that's where there's things that become... It was funny because I had a meeting Saturday. I had meetings all week, and they were all profitable. But you know what the ugliest one was Saturday morning and with everybody. But it was absolutely profitable. Necessarily wasn't pretty, but profitable. Very profitable because it was able for things to come up that are issues, that are things we need to deal with, things that we need to get refocused on, and things that we need to get put off to the side. And the ugliness was the things of those things that were rising up in these meetings. However, the profitability was great because then we learned what the issues were and we can deal with them, and then we can put those off and go forward and what our bosses have us to do and to serve in the customers. It was a fruitful thing. There was one other point I was going to make. I lost it, though. Oh, well.
Phil, that reminds me of when you were talking about discipleship this morning. And if we're always talking to our discipler about, you know, how great things are going, it's all about us. You know, it's we only grow when we call, when we're in need and know that, you know, there's an issue. You know, things are brought to the table. And then we have that choice to receive what is spoken.
Amen. And, you know, the other thing you said, why you call it a comforter? I'm thinking of that scripture, Timothy, which the girls and I prayed this week, and it was an awesome, and it was answered. We had a great time after Bible study Wednesday night, but that was, the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, when you receive that, there is a peace, there is a comfort, there is a joy. And that no matter what's going on around you, you can have that peace with Him and be partaking of that.
When you're partaking of the sound mind, your perspectives are totally different.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then you're not stuck in Psalms 37, fretting because of the prospering of evildoers.
But the end of 37, I like 37.
Yeah.
Because the end of 37 was the turnaround.
Yeah.
Where he started off, and then he turns around, and he learns from it, and goes forward in what he has. I haven't read it in a while. I'll probably read it again, because that's just a good book. Good chapter.
And the truth of the matter is, you need to know how good the Lord is. And how.
Amen.
When we talk about his provision for you, his provision... Not just monetarily, or not with just, you know, the things you're needful of to live in this world. His provision is to keep you, to
Amen.
Comfort you.
Amen.
And
to keep
eternal.
You and comfort you. That's right, because, you know, before I lose it again, that thing where the Lord is a comforter, you know, we all come to Him not in a good shape. I mean, we're looking for a Savior.
Oh, you know? Amen.
So in that place, of course, He is going to comfort us because in Him is life and life more abundantly. But I mean, it is life. It is our very life. You know, we come to Him a mess. Go ahead.
One of the things that John says, Jesus says in John 14 is... I'm going to go back to it because if I don't, I'm just going to blow it majorly. And I don't want to do that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You got to get around. You can't get around Jesus. He's the way. He's the way. You can't manufacture it yourself. You can't buy it. You can't have somebody give it to you.
All you can do is receive the truth, receive the word as true, and to believe that there's no other way. This is the only way any of this stuff works. And that's comforting, because the good news is I can cease hostilities with the Lord.
Amen. Because in the world there's tribulation. I'll tell you what, in my world here, there is plenty of tribulation. You can walk out the door and immediately start with all the things that are wrong. You know, but in Him is the only place that there is true peace.
You can come, we tend to get all log jammed and things pile up on us. The cares of the world, sin so easily besets us. But He is alone able to wash that stuff off. And in Him we have forgiveness.
What's that scripture say? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness?
All unrighteousness.
Amen.
And I know there's a lot of cleansing has yet to be done as well, because I know unrighteousness when I see it.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have any mirrors. Oh, me. But
you know, the other day I was meditating on the Lord, and I was in a good place, and I had that joy and that peace, and I was not really in the right place. I was next door to it, but not quite in the right place, and didn't see it yet. But I thought I was oh so spiritual that day. And I walked out to greet the world with a big smile on my face and all this peace to just sprinkle about me, right? As I went, I walked out the door and I slipped on the mud off the step. I was getting in the truck and the soda I had in my hand tipped, and I poured all down the front of me, and I was on my way to the doctor's. So of course there isn't time. So I've got a coat that looks like a 3-year-old is wearing, you know, and everything I did, everything I touched went to pieces on me until I finally realized, you know, Lord, I see the error of my way. I was being religious this morning. That is not spiritual. And please forgive me. And I received this humility. I received being humbled. I needed it. And just got my head in the right place where it's all about Him. And just show me what you want. And the soda stopped spilling. You know, the mud stopped tripping me up. And it went a whole lot better after that, when I didn't know anything or have to give anything to the world.
Amen. You know, it was interesting. I forget what it was. I was talking with Robin one time, and Robin said it was a day that it seemed like everything was kind of going wrong. And upside down, I couldn't tell you the full details of what she went through, but everything wrong. She got home, she took a nap, she prayed, and one of the things was she woke up and she, you know, all these things are going on. She woke up and she, you know, prayed to the Lord, and you know, she had peace. I mean, she trusted in the Lord and His grace at that time. Now, and when she went out, it wasn't that she didn't. You know, she trusted in the Lord's grace upon her, regardless of how bad she was screwing things up or how bad things were going on around her. And then she said to me, "And Philip, do you think those things changed?" I said, "Well, yeah." But she goes, "No, I didn't get any better at what I was supposed to be doing." But the point was that she had trusted in the Lord and His grace anyways, you know, with those things going on. And she had peace with Him through the rest of the day. You know, it was an interesting story to me. I mean, because, I mean, no matter what, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You trust in what the Word says, regardless of what the situation is around you. And you stand in
the... Amen. Amen.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is, part of the humanity that Jesus took on, that's how he's familiar with all the stuff that can pile on us. And the reason why we have a comforter, why we have a caring, loving Father, is because we're terribly needful. It's, you know, it's why in John 15 he says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I've been there too.
And amen. That's true.
I received their hatred and they killed me. So it is part of the understanding that is uniquely his. It was part of his ministry. Was to be like Hebrews 4:15 says, tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. He's the perfect Savior and the precious Lord who has empathy because he gave up his divinity and became a man. And this isn't a God or a divinity that just, you know, hangs around in the heavens and makes decrees about, don't do this or I'll kill you, or don't do that or I'll kill you. He's loving, loving you.
Amen.
And provided for you a Savior that has been through it. It's not like the God of Islam.
Amen.
Just a mean, old, dirty guy that respects no life and nobody.
Amen. You know, I just thought of the Lord's walk in a different light, for me anyways. I hadn't really thought of it this way before. I often think of Jesus being here in the flesh and that he had no certain dwelling place. He had no home here. And we think of often, you know, that he didn't have sinful flesh. He was without sin. But, you know, as he walked this world, he still was walking in a battleground like we are. He still was being pelted by the enemy and shot at all the time like we are. And even more so, I'm sure. So I hadn't really thought about that, but his experience, you know, walking outside, having the soda pour all over him, you know, with the mud, you know, slide under his feet and end up on his bum in the yard, you know, those kind of things. The world was still the world, and it is the devil's playground, that's for certain.
Yeah, you said even more so. And that's the other thing, you know, it's like, you know, we haven't had a high priest that haven't been touched with our infirmities. The thing is, you know, you just don't understand, you know, it's really us that don't understand. Because even more so was that he did nothing worthy of death, but yet was convicted of death and put to death. And he did nothing worthy of it. So, absolutely. And, I mean, you and, you know, the time where the... You know, I mean, shoot, you had one sector of beliefs, the Pharisees. You had another sector of beliefs, the Sadducees. Man, they didn't even agree on anything. But one thing they agreed on was attacking Jesus.
Yeah, this guy's got to go.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how much the world hated him. That's how much the world hated him. And
amen.
We can't dare.
That particular part of the world was his brethren.
He was going to his chosen people.
Well, you know, it wasn't just the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There were other sects during that time, too. But there was the Romans as well. There was all the various different Gentiles and the various different peoples that were in that section of the world, all coming against him.
Absolutely. Well, what were they all chanting at the end besides their Pilate?
And crucify him,
was crucify him. And the truth be told, if it was any of us that were alive at that time, we'd be sit there saying the same thing.
Well, you know, think about it. It's not like death came upon him suddenly either. I mean, he knew beforehand what was going to happen, and he spent the night in prayer. And even his disciples even let him down in that. They all fell asleep. They couldn't stay awake. And then, to have to go through, he had to meet with Pilate. He had to, meet with the high priest. All these things happened to him. Up into the point of, the long walk, to the cross.
Well, you even hear about them wanting to take hold of him because they were on plan of attack from like day one since he was born, and then you have, the plan of the attack against him. But you see even many times where they went to go. There was that one example where he went to, I think, Galilee, and he spoke these things, and all the eyes were fastened on him, and then all of a sudden, he say there become a time, I forget the exact wordings, but they went to go throw him off the cliff. But he
amen. They sought to kill him.
And he just moved right through him in the spirit, got away. But then you've seen this many times where they went to go lay hands on him, and there were some times where the soldiers just was not going to do it. It was like, never man spake like this one. Are you kidding me?
And still people are still the same way with throwing things at you and when they don't like you. They threw things at Jesus. They spat on him, my gosh. They took him, ripped his clothes off even. Just people were, there's just nothing new under the sun. People are still the same way when they're in a hateful mob today.
Well, they do it. They did it to Stephen. So, if you're going to walk as he walked, talking to the point of they hated me, they hate you. And they did it to Stephen. They're going to put Paul. Remember, they were trying to do it to Paul. I don't know the end of the story, but they tried with John.
Yeah, most definitely. The Lord definitely walked in all the stuff that we walk in here, and
even more so. We can't dare say, well, you just don't understand. The truth be told, we don't understand.
That's right. We learn by degree. Come on, guys. No crickets.
I'm sitting there looking about, the Comforter is talked about again in John 16. And, these things I've told you, and sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Well, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And he, when he's come, will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And again, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine
and shall shew it unto you.
And that there is, he's talking about the Holy Spirit.
That's the nature of the comfort.
That's right. And that Holy Spirit's job is to glorify the Lord. I remember David talking about that. But that's where we get our direction from.
You know, earlier when I was saying, you know, when it comes to joy, you know, having my eyes on the Lord, fixed on Him, you know, that is where the joy is. It's also where the peace is. And the other aspect of that is that we are so very blessed. I mean, we have His written word. We're in a place where we're not being persecuted, at least in the, we're not being locked up because we have His written word, the Bible. My God, we can assemble and praise the Lord. These are all blessings. Every one of them individually and together is a huge blessing. You know, Amen. That not everybody enjoys.
Amen.
Well, and we're not locked up because, quite frankly, they don't know everything we've done.
True. And that has nothing to do with the Lord. That has to do with our own idiot, just our own fleshly crap.
The Lord is gracious.
The Lord is very gracious. Very gracious. And, you know, and we've seen, you know, I read the pilgrim stories where, man, they were locking people up for not going to the King's Church and having a church group outside the King's Church. They were locking them up.
At one time, people didn't have the Bible in a whole form. They would have one book written down and have to hide that. If they were caught with that, it was a sentence to death. And that was over, you know, I think in England even, over in that part of the world. So, you know, any of us could get up. It's just amazing to me sometimes that any of us could get up. Well, me, that I could get up and feel sorry for myself in any way, shape, or form. It's ridiculous.
Amen. And you've seen even with when I read the pilgrim stories, how the Lord delivered them and how the Lord delivered them. And you've seen them, you see it in our own lives. And you've seen it back with the children of Israel. And we have scripture and testimony, how the Lord delivers and how the Lord delivers and how the Lord delivers.
Well, one of the
and
things that we haven't...
of those diligently praise. Seek them. You know what I mean?
Amen. One of the other things that we just don't mention enough is that He gave us one another, you know, a fellowship, a brotherhood and a sisterhood of, you know, saints to be together and uphold one another and help one another. And it's a big praise, God.
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
Let's see. You know, we're talking about the joy of the Lord. And, you know, I've been sitting here kind of skimming John 14, 15, and 16. And 15's got more mentions of the Comforter. 16, and, he, you know, you get to read all that He says before this, but he comes to get it in context. But 24, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Why?
That your joy may be filled.
Yeah.
Full.
And, you know, that comes back to James 4.
Yeah, just what Charlie was talking about.
How is it? You know, you have an expectation because He said, if you ask for these things in my name, I will give them that your joy may be made full. Why? You know, sitting there, first off, that's really a testimony that's unlike the God I was introduced to as a child. I mean, I didn't think He'd give a rat behind about my joy. But my joy is actually seeing his promise fulfilled and Amen. Having learning to develop an expectation that when we ask for things and we don't ask amiss, we don't ask it to consume it on our own lust, but to prosper others in the kingdom, to be a demonstration of our love and concern for somebody else. We're praying that they may get something, that because the Lord's good and the Lord loves them.
And you know, I look at that as like my children. There is nothing greater than when I mean, Wednesday night was such a great night. And where we had a Bible study. The girls had a great time. We had a great time during a Bible study and then afterward played some games. And it was just a joyful time. And to see them to receive and then to be filled with joy and to go forward. I mean, that's a lot of times what happens on Tuesdays. And we have that with one another when we come together at times. Or when you see somebody receive the Lord and His truth.
Amen.
There's no greater joy.
That's right. No greater joy. We've all seen a brother slip and fall and then come back and receive and be renewed, you know, and there is no greater joy than that, to see a brother renewed in the Lord.
Amen. And somebody who starts to get it. I mean, that's a great joy.
That is. And, you know.
Amen.
That's part of the changing of the renewing, part of the transformation and not the being conformed thing. Is the Lord's transforming us, and what pleases us pleases Him a little bit. We get to touch that every now and then. That's where the joy of the Lord really manifests itself.
Amen. I mean, because I've been ecstatic and have been in tears over the when somebody gets it and it just makes it all the worthwhile. Whatever struggle it took to get there makes it all the worthwhile. And you see that.
That's right.
We've come to the end again of another week of the Hour of Truth. And I want to thank y'all for joining us. I believe Texas is coming up next, the top of the hour, and we've only got about 20 seconds left here. So everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you later.
Okay, James.
May the Lord bless you.